Attorney Shokhet, and this is the Dove Hyken Show, and we're here to discuss your thoughts, your views, and your ideas, and we're here tonight and every Saturday night with Assemblyman Dove Hyken. Hi, Dove. Shavua Tov. How are you?
I am fine, thank God. We have an extremely important program, and I want to get right to it. Before we get to our program, which is a continuation of last week...
We're actually doing sexual abuse. We're only as sick as our secrets, healing the shame.
Yeah. Before we get to our show, just let me mention, so many things are happening, especially in the Middle East. I think everyone knows that Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will be out very soon. Could be by September, a little longer, but... He finally made that announcement, and it's going to be very interesting to watch what goes on. First comes the primaries in September in Kadima, which is the major party today running Israel, between Tzipi Livni and Tzipi Livni, who's the foreign minister, and Shaul Mofaz. You know, if anybody would ask me what do I think, I would say that they're both pretty disastrous for Israel. But tonight is not the night we're going to talk about that. Obviously, you know, this is developing, and there's going to be a lot to talk about. And we will do that show in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, if new elections are held, and I hope they are, most overwhelmingly Israelis want new elections. If new elections are held, I have no doubt that Netanyahu, former Prime Minister Netanyahu, would be successful. But we're going to leave that show for the for a couple of weeks from now. But tonight we have some very special people in the studio. You do not want to miss tonight's show. Charney, tell our audience, then we'll take a brief break, and then we'll get to our very special guest.
We have Yoni Hyken with us. He's a child, adolescent, and adult psychotherapist, an LMSW. We also have Dr. Usher Lipner, who's a psychotherapist working in the firm community with survivors of sexual abuse, and he's a member of the Jewish Board of Advocates for Children. Also, very important that we tell you this. Tonight, we will be discussing mature subject matter, obviously, so listener discretion is advised. And also we will have someone else, Miriam, and she will tell us the story of her son, of finding out that her son was molested and that she has taken with her family.
So we'll be right back?
We're going to be right back almost instantly. We'll be right back. Don't go away. And we are back. This is the Dove Hyken Show. And tonight we are talking about part two of We Are Only as Sick as Our Secret, Sexual Abuse Healing the Shame.
Before we get to Miriam, who has an incredible story to tell, a very important story to tell, I just want to make a couple of comments. We've received unbelievable reaction during the course of the week, and I want to thank in particular Vusis Nias, which is one of those blogs that gets unbelievable attention. I mean, I did an interview with them this week on this issue, and my God, they had approximately close to 100 people who reacted to that interview, which is quite amazing. And they've been on top of the story. They have given us encouragement, and they're there, and they will continue to be there. So I just want to thank them. That's Vusis Nias. I also want to make a comment, one of the things, people said to me, which professions do I respect? What should people go into in life? Because, at the end of the day, it's important that people make a difference. Whatever you're going to do in this world, you should try to make a difference. You should be involved in helping people and so on. And one of the professions, and I've talked about this on the radio in the past, one of those professions which takes unbelievable dedication, devotion, is to become a Rebbe, to become a teacher in a school. That's something that is to do that kind of job and to do it well. So I just want to make it very, very clear. I spoke to a lot of Rebbes this week who reacted to the show last week, that to be a teacher in a school, to be a Rebbe, is a profession to be admired and to be appreciated. And I wish all of us in society would recognize that. So I wanted to make that comment, and I also want to say that on this issue, we are going to be dealing with all the professionals, and we are going to be speaking to rabbanim, to rabbis, etc., etc. But We are working on this. My office is committed to making a difference on this subject. This is not about doing something on the radio once, twice, or 10 times. This is not about making a comment here and there. I have actually assigned staff members to work on this subject. We're not going to go into exactly what our plan is, but we are going to stick with this until we truly make a difference. And I meant what I said last week. Those who are abusing our children, those who are in classrooms who are involved in abusing our children, doing inappropriate things, I'm coming after you. I'm telling you right now, I am coming after you in every single way. If you have a problem and you're in a classroom, quit. Quit before we announce your name publicly. Quit before you embarrass your entire family. I am not going to sit back when there is information, and I'm going to take tons of information to all the leading rabbis and put it on the table for them, and I have no doubt that we're going to get unbelievable support. But one thing I'm not going to do is be silent. One thing I'm not going to do is to shy away from the subject. This is about saving lives. And we have a very, very special person here in the studio with us tonight. A very courageous lady. Her name is Miriam. And Miriam's son was a student in the largest Hasidic institution in Williamsburg. Okay? And Miriam, when I spoke to her last Thursday we met, describes herself as a Satmar woman, a woman from Satmar, through and through. This is someone who is really part of the Haredi community of Williamsburg. She has a large family. Her children are married, beautiful family, children, grandchildren. But she has experienced something that really has changed her life, her husband, her family, has affected them in a profound way, and we're going to talk about that right now. Miriam, first of all, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Okay? Let's get started. Your son, his name is Yoli. Now, we say that, nobody knows who it is because, half of Williamsburg is Yoli?
Most likely. Right?
Three quarters. I even have a grandson, Yoel, mm-hmm. but it's not the same relationship. Your son went to a very fine yeshiva in Williamsburg, and at the age of approximately 8 and a half, you didn't know this till much later,
right?
But at the age of 8 and a half, tell the audience what happened to your son.
First, I'd like to commend you, Dov Haiken, for being Oisek B'Tzar Chatzibah, and Hashem should give you a lot of siyata d'shmaya. When my son was molested by 8 and a half, he was molested by his manal, and his manal told him...
Now, what is a manal? A lot of people out there don't know what a manal is.
It's a principle.
The principle of this very fine institution. I mean, if we talk about Williamsburg, one of the largest institutions, I think everybody has some idea what we're talking about. So this major institution in Williamsburg, your son was molested by the principal starting at the age of 8 and a half.
And he was molested for several months. And the principal told him, Zug nishfa da mama.
Don't tell your mother.
Now, an 8 and a half year old child has no idea what molestation is, and he wasn't aware that he was molested. But what happens to children who are molested, and I'll defer to the professionals on this, but this is what my son told me, is that the distortion of reality for him was devastating, and the isolation and the shame that this created kept him from telling it to us for many, many, many years.
So he was living with something that he knew was not natural, being touched at his private parts. He knew something was wrong. You had no idea. You did not notice from the age of 8 and a half. At what point did you notice that something was different with your son, Yoli? That something was not, different from what it was before? At what point?
We noticed it almost immediately. But it was a very busy time for me. I have daughters, they were getting married. I was having new grandchildren, new kallahs, a vachnach, a bris.
A lot of things were going on, a lot of happy occasions.
And Yoli fell through the cracks. because he didn't exhibit any aggressive signs. He rather withdrew into himself, and he lived a silent, he lived in anguish and silence until he turned 14, until he started to mature, and he realized that he had been violated. That's when the realization hit him, and that's when he said, I was violated by my now, who represents Hashem, who represents Yiddishkeit, who represents the Torah, and it so turned him off from everything, and really, the person robbed him of all this, robbed him of his Yiddishkeit, robbed him of Hashem, robbed him of the Torah, and robbed him of his life.
At what point did you actually find out? I mean, Yoli's going through this, you're seeing this. At what age did you actually find out? Did you actually have the first conversation with your son about what had happened?
When he turned 19, he went off the derech.
Now, as off the derech means for our audience, for those who don't know, the first thing that Miriam did when I met with her last week, she's in my office, and she put two pictures on my desk. Two pictures. One was a picture of Yoli as a young Hasidic young man sitting with his beautiful family, his mother and father flanking him, brothers, sisters, family members right behind him. A beautiful picture. And then his mother, Miriam, put a picture right next to that. Also, good-looking guy, but very, very different. Yoli in that picture was next to three other guys. And how do I describe it? I mean, they didn't look wild. They looked like four guys maybe in a bar having a good time, you know.
It was actually his band.
Oh, he has a band. Okay.
He had joined the band.
Okay. So this picture was as part of the group from the band. So at the age of 19, he actually...
He changed his levish.
He changed his clothing.
He changed his levish.
In other words...
Totally, completely.
He was a young Hasidic individual wearing long payas, long side curls, all the clothing that a Hasidic person wears. And, I mean, one day he just took it all off, or was it gradual?
One day he just took it all off, and he appeared looking...
Did he talk to you about it? This was going on over a period of time that you must have noticed some changes in his behavior.
I didn't notice any changes in his behavior.
Really?
He's a very idle person. And he's quiet, and he's a valdir cheret.
Respect.
He's
very respectful.
And he's sweet. He's very nice. And from one day to the next, he changes his levish entirely. And one night...
So this must have been a build-up on his part.
He says it was a build-up from the time he was 13, 14.
That he wanted to
just
run away.
That he had really gone off the derech. Because of his reaction
to what
had happened to him, but he kept it quiet. He kept it quiet. By 19, he got the courage to publicly go off the derech. Now, when I asked him, when I spoke to him about it one night, and he told me, how long do you think I am like this? So I said, 6 months. He said, no, since I'm 13, 14.
That he was like what?
Off the derech.
Not keeping Shabbos?
No, he was keeping Shabbos. He went off the derech. I don't want to go into the details of it.
Okay.
It was...
In his head.
It was in his hashkofa. It was in the way he looked at Yiddishkeit, the way he looked at...
The way he looked at Judaism.
At our leaders, at his rabbis, at the Vada Tznius, at the Vada Chinach.
So what happened to Yoli was like the most unbelievable, and we'll let the professionals talk about it, the most unbelievable shock to the system. Here he is learning at one of the yeshivas, Hasidic yeshivas in Williamsburg, and he goes through the experience of something happening to him that...
The betrayal. The word for it is betrayal. It was a betrayal of his trust, of his beliefs.
How could this happen? How is this possible?
How is this possible? This representative... To a small child, this representative of Yiddishkeit and Torah violates and molests him, and he continues to be the epitome of a shiny yid and the epitome of somebody to look up to.
He just couldn't deal with it.
He couldn't deal with it.
I just want to mention that I do know from Miriam that Yoli was not the only boy who was sexually molested by this particular Rebbe, and we're going to get to that. There were other students as well, and as we know from professionals, someone who has this sickness doesn't just do it to one person. They try to do it to as many. They're sick. They're not well. It's like candy for a child. You know, more candy, more candy. You already gave them candy. No, they need more. And this is what happened with this particular principle. So at what point, Miriam, your son suddenly changes completely in a physical sense in terms of his clothing?
At that time, he told me I was molested by my Manal.
That was the first time?
Yes.
At 19?
This was 4 years ago. That's when he told us that he was molested by his Manal.
Told you the name of the teacher?
No, he didn't. He didn't tell me.
Did you ask him?
I did. I just want to explain to the public how little I, who consider myself a well-read woman, I consider myself knowledgeable, how little I knew of what molestation means. And when he told this to me, I was very sympathetic to him, and I thought, oh, my poor child, he went through a terrible experience.
Did you know what he meant, even? Do you know what he meant?
Yeah, I
knew what he meant.
What a terrible experience he went through at 8 and a half. But it didn't, I had no idea of the devastating, lifelong effects that molestation had, and continued at the age that he was actually talking to me. I thought this was something that had happened in the past.
Finished, over.
And that, okay, if like a child breaks an arm and it heals, and you're finished with that. But I didn't realize that molestation leaves devastating lifelong effects and has and damaged him so badly.
Right, right.
So I said I was very sympathetic to him. I said, oh, you poor.
Your husband as well? Your husband is involved in all these discussions?
Very much so. He's an excellent father and an excellent husband. And we were all had the same feeling. Oh, you know, poor kid, he went through something terrible. But none of us had the education or the knowledge, and this is really the main reason for this program, is to bring awareness to people of a child who was molested. It doesn't go away. It leaves devastating lifelong effects. It affects a child's entire future. And it really is shvichas dumim. A child...
Spilling blood. It's like spilling blood.
It's like killing somebody. A molester who molests a young child, I'm talking about childhood molestation now, because this is the subject that I'm involved in, is a shoyfach zumen.
So at what point do you find out, I know you're very close to Yaeli, and everybody shows unconditional love in your family to him, regardless of what he looks like, it doesn't matter, he's your son,
we love him, period. We love him, and we realize that he's a person who's suffering.
Right, right. At what point do you find out who the Rebbe was, who the principal was, who did this to your son?
I don't remember the point at which we found out who the Rebbe was, but when we did find out, it went along with our feeling of all this happened in the past, and I didn't understand what molestation was until he gave me a book to read.
Yeah, you can mention
the name of the book is Beyond Betrayal, Richard B. Gartner, and in the introduction to the book, I learned everything. I didn't need to even read, I read the book, but I didn't even need to go further than introduction to learn the devastation and the ruination of a soul, of a human being that happens.
So that's when you realized that this was far from over, that this was not going away, unless you
realized,
were going to deal with it.
That's when I realized that this is very, very serious and very devastating. And what happened is that Yoel discovered that there was another victim. And the other victim confronted another victim from the same Manal.
Right.
And the other victim confronted the man on the street. Met him on the street just now recently, March or April, he met him on the street, and he dressed him down on the street. He confronted him, and he let him have it. Subsequent to that, Yoel discovered that in a discussion with some people in the Baal HaChinuch, that there was another child who was seeing a social worker. I'm not going to mention her name. And in the context of this child seeing the social worker, there were allegations that this child, too, had been molested by the
same person.
At this point, Yoel said, I cannot live with myself anymore because, believe it or not, as surprising and as shocking as it may sound, this Manal continues to be...
To destroy kids?
To continue to be in the same yeshiva, and now he's a Malamed. Now he's a teacher, he's a rabbi to young boys. And Yol said, this is not going to happen. I have a responsibility. And at this point, we also felt that we're negligent. I mean, we can't let this happen. We can't just sit by and do nothing. And so Yoyli said, we're going to do something. And so my husband and I told him, Yoyli, we're going to help you. And now, this man is a man that's my age, which means he's close to 60. He's got 10 children, all married. So we're talking about a lot of innocent people over here. All his children, and he has grown grandchildren, his mechatunim, there are very many innocent people involved over here. But we want to get him away from young boys. So we were advised, I have another son who's actually very, very clever, and we he has a Saich Layusha, and I listen to him a lot. He said, write a letter to the Malamed, and tell the Malamed.
So let me move this on a bit, because we do want to get to calls. You went through a process, you, your husband, your family, to try to deal with this now teacher in a classroom
in a proper way,
without going public, without going to the newspapers,
protecting his family.
Right, you were very nice. You were very wonderful. I mean, you were ready to do it in a way where he would just get out of the picture, not teach, never again be able to be a teacher in any school because the guy was sick, obviously, and needed help.
The goal was not revenge. The goal was to get him away from children.
Right. And the story of your attempts to do this are not very, unfortunately, not very encouraging. Am I correct?
Well, it didn't work. It didn't work. My husband hand delivered the letter to him, and we thought this would be between us and this Malamed. And because he knew the truth, we felt that he would use illness as an excuse.
Just get out.
And we delivered the letter to him before Pesach to give him a chance to say, after Yontif, he's not coming back.
Right.
Before we knew it, we were inundated with calls from...
from the school, from different people.
No, not from the school, because the school tried to stay out of this. The school tried to hide behind another Valdatsnias. We were inundated by many different people, and were a community activists. All of a sudden, everybody's calling us. People are calling me, people are calling my husband, people are calling Yoyli.
Telling you what?
And we're shocked, because why does the Malamed want to put himself into the public eye now? So now we have a problem.
So now he spreads the word.
Now we have a problem. How do we deal? We want to deal with this B'derech Kuvod, but now
quietly.
Outside. So we spoke to everybody. And the next thing we know is Yoyli is speaking to this independent Valtatsnis who is going to take care of this issue. And this is going on from Erev Pesach to Ruch HaLamoid Pesach.
Before Passover, yeah.
And during Passover. And they listen to Yoyli with great sympathy. They do understand, and they tell Yoyli, we are going to take care of this. And every day they tell him, we already spoke to the Moishet, we already spoke to the Malam.
It's all being worked out.
It's being worked out until the very last day, which was a Thursday, and they tell Yoyli, the Malam changed his mind.
He's denying it.
Okay, they told him, if you're denying it, you need to take a lie detector test. And he agreed.
So this Rebbe takes a lie detector test by a professional organization.
On Friday.
It's done. And the teacher fails the test. In other words, he goes through the... He says, I didn't... It's not me. Fails the test. And what happens then? I assume this Rebbe must be out now.
Well, when he took the lie detector test, Yoyli had to give the questions to the polygraph examiner, because it might be a bank robber, right?
Right.
So Yoyli gave him specific questions to ask. And the Valdatsnias was... At 1 o'clock, Yoyli gave the questions. 2 o'clock, he took the test. He failed the test. The polygraph examiner asked Yoyli, before he gave the test to the Malamed, are you willing to do a lie detector test? And Yoyli said, sure, of course. Well, when he failed the test, they came back and told Yoyli,
there was no purpose to it.
You don't need to take the test. And the Valdatsnias told Yoyli, the man is out. He no longer has a job with us. And he no longer has a job... They have a summer country. In the summer country.
And he's teaching in the... He was teaching in the country.
He used to be. Right, he used to, yes. He no longer has a job in the yeshiva. He no longer has a summer job. And he needs to go for therapy. This is what they told
me. So at this point, you know, your son is very happy. He's accomplishing something, getting this guy out of a classroom, out of teaching, out of being near children, and getting therapy. And the end of the story as of tonight, and the story's not over tonight, but as of now, you, as far as you know, this teacher who molested your son...
And another boy,
and God knows how many other children. Okay, there's no doubt in my mind.
There is a chusman who was also one of the
somebody who's getting married now?
Who doesn't want to talk.
Okay, who's also molested. I'm sure there are many others. As of tonight, this prominent yeshiva in Williamsburg is taking this teacher back into a classroom in September. Is that correct?
My information is that they gave him back his summer job, and they gave him back his summer job.
Summer job of teaching children in the country.
Because my son turned 23 on June 24, and they have a crack legal team. They spoke to their legal people, and the legal people told them the statute of limitations runs out when Yoeli turns 23 on June 24th, and by July they had rehired him for the summer. And my information is that they will rehire him in September to be a teacher of young boys again.
Unbelievable. And the real, you know, the story, the tragedy of what happened to your son, and what compounds it, what really makes it a horror story, worse than anything. Miriam, it's like I myself am trying to personally understand and deal with what is going on. How can a prominent, one of the most prominent yeshivas in Williamsburg, that is supposed to be educating tens of thousands of children, knows they have a molester in the classroom destroying people's lives? How can they continue with him?
What's to stop
him? How's that possible?
What's to stop
him? Well, we are going to stop him, okay? I mean, it's August 2nd or 3rd, whatever it is tonight. We are going to stop that from happening, period. But that's not the point. The point is, what is their thinking? Where is their religiosity and their commitment? Is it that they don't believe it happened? Or is this about getting away with something?
The lie detector test tells them that it happened.
And we have a bunch of kids. We have your son and others. And as I said, God knows how many others.
They think they're invincible. And they think they can get away with everything because they have gotten away with everything up until now. There's nothing to stop them.
Usher, I'm sure you have some comments.
Well, it's important to understand that sexual abuse has to be viewed in the context of abuse of power in general. A child is vulnerable. All victims have some vulnerability. And unfortunately, there are people who abuse other people in many ways. Sexual abuse is only one way of abusing power. Sometimes you have people in positions of power in the community who abuse that power as well. What their motivations are.
Why? I don't understand. Is there anyone out there who accepts the sexual abuse of a child? I mean, I just need... I can't understand. There is no explanation. Here's an individual. I don't care how many children, grandchildren he has. Miriam tried to do things in such a beautiful way. I don't know if I would have done things in such a fashion. But she tried. And they knew how hard she was trying. And they came to her. And they were dishonest with her, basically. They were dishonest. They were playing with her. They were hoping she would go away, basically.
They betrayed Yoeli again.
Yeah, exactly. Your son, having gone through this, having been so affected by this, finally he sees maybe something good is coming. Something is going to happen. Maybe I can bring closure. I accomplished something. I made a difference. I got rid of the skunk. And then he finds out that a person who is sick, there is no expert who has a different point of view about individuals like this, that they are sick and should never, ever be with children again, and you
are thinking of letting him back into the classroom, and during the summer his work is with children? I mean, my God, how do you face God? How do you face God? Not after 120, right the second. How do you pray in the morning, I want to know? Yoni.
No, this is a pretty appropriate way to start the 9 days tonight. You know, I think we're trying to understand how people allow things like this to happen. And, you know, people talk about, even this week, about, like, why are we talking about this on the radio? People need to understand that this story that Miriam just gave is not an exception. Anyone out there who, if you just met some more people that had this happen to their children, will hear this story being told over and over again. As we say, the destructions of souls is what happens. We need to have this penetrate our soul and understand the devastation that happens when anything like this happens. Maybe that's part of the gap here and what we don't understand, because people out there aren't realizing. Like, at first, Miriam, I mean, you heard about this, you know. Okay, terrible thing, he was 8 and a half, but, you know, years ago, you know, how bad could it, what kind of an effect could it have had? And people, I think, still have that question. We need to realize this. We need to realize that when this happens to kids, when they suffer from these things, I don't know how else to put it, but a destruction of the soul. We know some of these people in the profession. We meet people, and that's why we're coming on the radio and we're talking about this. People out there have to realize what happens to children when this happens to them. We need to have this penetrate our souls so that we could feel the pain on the profound level that it needs to be felt.
I just want to say to everyone out there that my office is devoted to this, and we are asking people to come forward to tell us their story. Total privacy, 26 years in office, I think people know how careful we are about the privacy of every single issue that people come to us with. And we have staff in my office devoted to working on this every single day. We are building cases and cases and cases. The stories that I've heard just this week, all from our communities, from Lakewood to Muncie to Borough Park, Flatbush, etc. You know, I got to tell you, you asked me at the beginning of the show, you say, how are you, Dove? I got to be honest with you. I have not been okay since last week, Shabbos night, and doing this show, because it affects me profoundly. I have to tell you, to listen, and you know what really is like putting a dagger through my heart? Is that people are more interested in protecting the perpetrator than in dealing with the victim. That's the part that is putting a dagger through my heart and soul.
Well, that speaks to the betrayal that people feel. I hear this from victim after victim, is that they don't only feel betrayed by the perpetrator, they feel betrayed by society, by their school, by their community, because they don't feel they have a place for their voice to be heard. They don't feel that they have a place for healing, and it's important for the whole community to reach out to people, to victims, and to say that we want to hear your story, that we want to help you, that we want to protect you, because that's the best way that the community can help people heal. It's to heal the betrayal, to heal the sense of isolation that Miriam described, that Yoli went through. Victims often feel isolated, victims of any trauma, but especially a trauma that is so difficult to speak about, and that so many people have so many reasons not to want to believe, which is a whole other issue, why there is such secrecy and taboo in our community about this issue. It really is a historical fact that in society at large, it's not only in our community, nobody really wants to know about this problem. It's only starting to come out. First you had the abuse.
It's much worse in our community, there's no question about it.
The secrecy. Not the level, not the number of perpetrators.
Secrecy.
Or not the number of victims, but the level of secrecy, it is more difficult in our community to come forward, which is why we need a special helpline that Chaya told us about last week. We need a special helpline for Orthodox people to be able to call to get help, because it's very difficult for people to talk about this, to feel that they have the safety and the confidentiality, and to feel that they have the support and understanding. We need more education.
We're going to be coming right back and doing your phone calls at 718-436-1700, 718-436-1700. Try to make your... Charney?
Yeah, we're good.
We'll try to make your comments as brief as possible. Again, 718-436-1700. We'll be right back.
And we want to make sure we give out that number. Beth Israel Medical Center Sexual Abuse Helpline is 212-844-1495. That's 212-844-1495. And we are simulcast on 540 AM, Islip, New York. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
As an accountant, I'm always looking for ways to save money. Take my air conditioner. It's usually on full blast, and it shows on my energy bill. No more. Thanks to some great tips from Con Ed. I keep the filter clean for peak efficiency, set the AC thermostat no lower than 78 degrees, and I always turn the AC off when I leave home. These simple tips help me save enough to buy all the Rocky Road ice cream I want.
Visit ConEd.com for more cool energy-saving tips. Con Edison, on it.
Sometimes just getting the news isn't enough. That's why when it comes to news about the Jewish community, whether from around the world or around your block, informed people turn to the Jewish press. Every week, the Jewish press offers comprehensive news coverage from Israel and throughout the world. Hard-hitting commentary, thought-provoking insights, news you can use on food, health, business, and the most widely read classifieds anywhere. And don't forget to check out www.jewishpress.com for timely updates on Jewish news, contests, and other special offers. For advertising and for subscriptions, call 718-330-1100. That's 718-330-1100 for the Jewish press.
As a fashion stylist, my job includes keeping mountains of clothes clean. Luckily, these smart tips from Con Ed help me use less energy and help the environment. First, I use the washer only with a full load of clothes. I use cold water whenever possible. Most clothes don't really need hot water anyway. I never overload the dryer, and I clean the lint filter before each load. Best of all, I'm saving money, which I'll probably spend on more clothes.
Visit ConEd.com for more smart energy-saving tips. Con Edison, on it.
Seeing your first grandchild in Ariel Israel, priceless. Visiting Amsterdam to see Anne Frank's home, priceless. Marrying off your youngest child in Alberta, Canada, priceless. Dancing at your seminary friend's wedding in Australia, priceless. An Alaskan cruise with your in-laws, not so priceless. Going parasailing, jet skiing, and skydiving in Orlando with your chaver and ben hazmanim, oh man, that's priceless and awesome. Planning every trip with Dual, always priceless. For everywhere you must go, for everywhere you want to be, it's always Dual. Call Dual Travel at 718-972-6000. That's 718-972-6000. And Dual can customize a vacation package for you with heritage tours, sightseeing, tourist attractions, kosher restaurants, magnificent villas with private pools, luxurious hotels and resorts, local schools and more. To customize your vacation itinerary, you can call 718-301-1391. That's 718-301-1391. And Dual has an Israel special for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, $785 via your plus taxes and fuel surcharge. Charges. You can call Dual at 718-972-6000. That's 718-972-6000. And we are back.
I just want to thank Yoli and his mother and his father. I just want to thank Yoli for fighting, for being a fighter, for not just moving on and being angry and not trying to make a difference. He's trying to make a real difference. And I hope in the very near future to have him on the show and do a whole show just with him. So thank you. You know, I actually spoke to him on Thursday night. I hope maybe I'll even meet him. Maybe I'll get lucky even tonight. Let's go to our callers.
And again, we're taking your calls at 718-436-1700. We're going to go to Lev in Bar Park. Lev, you're on the air with Dov.
Hello, Magetavach Miriam. I want to thank you very, very much, Dov and Usher, for doing this show. It's very, very important. I'm talking as a victim. It gives me and all of my brothers and sisters a great courage to fight on. And Dov, I know I want to tell for the audience or non-victims who have questions on Dov, his sincerity. I can tell you that I know for a fact Dov is not doing just a show. He's not just talking for PR reasons or for other reasons. He's actually doing behind the scenes and after the show and before the show, he's doing a lot of stuff. And Usher, thank you very much on a personal level. Now, Miriam, I want to tell you something. I lost a mother at a young age. You don't know me. I don't know you, but I'm adopting you as my mother. And I'm much older than your son. I'm not a young boy. I was a victim of a young boy. To the victims out there, the courage that you have, and I'm very happy also you came on the show and you told the story, because people don't understand that thing, just being victimized is being victimized. it's actually the only the sexual abuse. Sexual abuse, maybe someone who wasn't sexual abused, they would think it's just like being punched on the street, a mug or robbed, it's something that goes away. You brought up the betrayal of it. That's even worse than the actual sexual abuse that comes along with it. It's not only the sexual abuse. It's the betrayal and everything else, the brainwashing and everything, the extortion, the whatever they give into a child, not to tell anyone and not to, and it's the whole Yiddish type. It's usually, it comes from, whether it's a Rebbe, like in my case, in your son's case, or it could be sometimes a parent, someone you look up, an uncle you look up to, and they rob you from everything, all the trust from all the people around you.
Absolutely.
Now, to all the victims, I want to, that's very, very important, all the victims out there who live in silence and you can't talk to anyone. I didn't talk for 17 years up until this year. I couldn't talk to anyone. Whenever a story, I heard a story came out on the street, I was yelling about it. I spoke to everyone like a third party, but I never said, I could never tell my story about it. Until I went with, I did go to Amaruru, to Aruf. Usher knows who it is. I went around with him and we were knocking on doors and to other doors. We're knocking just on closed doors. Until it got to a point I had to go into therapy. So all the victims out there, let me tell you something, therapy is very, very, very important. I denied it, I didn't believe it, I got into therapy because I was pushed into it, and I went into very happily just to prove a point that it's worthless and it can only do further damage. Just the opposite, it's very, very, very helpful. It's very, your life will change. I'm talking to the victims. Your life will change for the better.
Lev, thank you so much for that extremely important phone call. Thank you, Lev, for sharing that with us. Charney, let's go to the next caller.
And we are taking your calls at 718-436-1700. Next up, we've got Moshe and Woodridge. Moshe, you're on the air with Dove.
Yeah, good to rock, Dove. I have to give you a compliment. I feel your broken heart. Exactly what Tiona said, your song. That starting the week, it's a harben butachinach. The home is in Migdish. For Mrs. Miriam, I want to say good to Rach. I want to ask you a question. Was your son at that age a good student or a weak student? Was a good student.
At the age of 8 and a half, he was the happiest, well-adjusted child that you have ever seen.
Now, I want to ask you, in the studies from the Haida, why was he going to the principal if he wasn't a good student? My question is, I have a feeling that he wasn't too good, and I'm trying to bring out that we have to cut that class into half. The kid the dollars and kid the high class.
Well, wait. Moshe, I think Miriam said he was a good student.
He asked a very important question.
Okay.
Why was this child so much by the Manal?
Yes, okay.
And there's an answer to that.
Please.
He had a Rebbe who was very, very old and somewhat senile. And the Rebbe kept falling asleep in the class. And that's how the principal was able to take a child out of the class and call him into his office and have him sit in his office. And under normal circumstances, a Rebbe would say, why is this child sitting in the principal's
right.
office so much? But over here he was able to do it because the Rebbe was totally unaware.
Right. Okay, let's go to the next caller.
We're going to go to Shoshana in Borough Park. Shoshana, you're on the air with Dove.
Yeah, hello, hi, good to go. My question is, why do we have to wait till 19 years old? Why, is there a way to find out when they're younger if they were molested?
It's very important to teach your kids. This is something that clinicians have been working on with a lot of parents, that it's very important to teach your kids from a very young age to come to you whenever somebody does something that makes them feel uncomfortable, and especially if someone tells them to keep something secret from their parents, that is exactly when they should be taught they should come to their parents and tell them right away. And to be frank with your kids about the dangers that are out there. The same way we teach our children not to take rides from strangers, we also have to teach them about what we call good touch and bad touch, about nobody should touch them in their private places. And that way, there are children who do come forward. It's happening more that there are children who do come forward. Nevertheless, sometimes people are so traumatized that they actually aren't even aware that they have something to talk about.
If parents have a good relationship with their children, you know, very often parents are busy running, you know, and they're nervous. And if kids have a good relationship with their parents, is there a better chance that the kids will, in fact, feel comfortable talking to their mother or father?
Definitely.
Okay. Leon, do you want to say something?
I just think it's important to realize that, you know, a good relationship, of course, is important, but at the same time, if a parent isn't knowledgeable and it's not something that's ever talked about, then the best relationship in the world, you know, you're just not in touch with the idea as much. You're not aware of it.
Well,
so that's what education and awareness is all about.
Let's be honest. This is such a taboo subject for us in the Jewish community. Just even when I say it, and I've been looking at it for such a long time, people touching someone else's child physically, sexually, like even when I say it, it makes me shudder, you know, like, what am I saying? You know, you can't even imagine if you try in your head to imagine that some person is taking his hand and putting it on your child's private parts. And the person is an authority figure, a principal, a teacher, or someone in your own family doing something terrible. We're not even talking about that. It's hard for us to deal with, but ladies and gentlemen, we have to deal with it.
I, on that note about family members, I would like to just share with the audience out there that I was speaking to a clinician that I'm close with named Shimon Russell, who was telling me that it's important to, that it seems that boys are molested more by in schools, in camps, by someone outside of the home, whereas girls, it seems, little girls are molested or abused more by an uncle or an older brother in the house. And again, just as far as education and awareness, that seems to be a difference in terms of boys and girls in that matter.
But to answer the question a little more fully, there are situations like in Joel's situation where he himself wasn't aware of what happened to him until he reached an age where he started, you know, it was really 13 or 14, right, where there was puberty, where you started getting in touch with his own body and changes. And a lot of times that brings up feelings. Some people don't realize what happened to them until they're adults, till they're in their 30s or 40s. In a way, Joel was lucky that that he did understand what happened to him at some point and was able to tell his parents, and they were able to get him help.
Regarding education, we just want to tell people that there is a booklet that is out to tell parents how to talk to their children about sexual abuse and proper touching and not proper touching. You can call the MASC hotline, Mothers Aligned, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids, 718-758-0400, 718-758-0400. They have a book available called Say No, and all you have to do is ask them for it.
Next caller.
We're going to go to Yitzhak and Queens. Yitzhak, you're on the air with Dov.
Yes, hi. Good of us. I was just wondering, how come, why don't you publicize who this is? And also, how come nobody went to the police? Why is this guy, why is this subhuman still in, walking around and not in jail?
Miriam?
Well, I'd like to say that we don't go to the police.
Well, that's everybody else's son.
Go to the Rebbe, and what's the objective over here? The objective is not revenge.
It's not a revenge. You got to get him off the street. It's not a matter of revenge.
That was the purpose of our letter to him. That was the purpose of doing this quietly, behind the scenes, because there are a lot of innocent people involved over here. There's 10 children.
Yitzhak, look, your point is well taken. I mean, I understand. In this, thank God, in Miriam's case, they are actually trying to do something about it. They are working day in and day out to get this guy out of a classroom. And I agree. By the way, it isn't about getting him out of a classroom or getting him out of Williamsburg, and then he ends up in Borough Park, or then he ends up in Muncie, or he ends up in Canada someplace, or in Antwerp. I mean, it's about getting him away from children. And by the way, those who feel that they want to pursue it legally, by all means. By all means, there are enough Rabbanim around who have said you have every single right to do that. But Miriam is fighting. Yoel is fighting. And the first objective is to get this guy out of the classroom. Why that hasn't happened yet, of course, is mind-boggling, but I'm telling you that if I have to go public and on the radio, if I have to hold a press conference outside of the yeshiva, I will do that. That guy is not going back to that school in September. With God's help, we will make sure that does not happen. Let's go next caller.
We're going to go to Rivka in Brooklyn. Rivka, you're on the air with Dov.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air with Dove.
Hi, first of all, I would like to say thank you to Usher for telling me about the show. My name is Esther Malga. And Miriam, I just want to tell you, I was actually not sexually abused by a teacher, but by my brother for 9 years. And I want to tell you that your son is so lucky to have you as a mother. I actually just called my father and told him, I was like, Pa, turn on the Dove Hiking Show. Because I also sent my parents a book years ago when this came out, and my parents refused to read it. And I said, Ta, turn on the show, listen. My father said, I'm not interested, and hung up. And that's why I think that your son is so lucky to have a mother that actually believed him and stood by him. And I think that any parent out there that is listening to this show and their child comes over to them and tells them that this is happening to them, my life was destroyed because my parents didn't support me, and I'm telling you, parents out there, support your kids. Is the most important thing in the world. And I'm, like that other guy said, I want to adopt you because my parents aren't supporting me, and it is incredible that you are standing by your child.
Thank you so much. But wow. I want you to know that Yoili himself is an extremely courageous person at his age in the young 20s to come out publicly for this. Because under normal circumstances, it takes people to be in their 30s and 40s to be able to face up to this. And Yoili has courage, and I think he's my hero.
He's lucky to have you as a mother.
Thank you.
Rifki, and you sound like a remarkable young lady, really. Articulate, clear, and really just God bless you and be strong. And what can I tell you? You're touching my heart.
Thank you. My name is Esther Malka, but thanks for the compliment.
Absolutely. If not, take care. Let's go to the next caller. Wow.
We're going to go to, and we are really running out of time, so we're going to ask Ari to keep it brief. It's Ari in Manhattan. Ari, you're on the air with Dove. Ari, you're on the air with Dove.
Hi, Dove. This is Ari in Manhattan. As consideration, is it possible you can put these administrators on notification if they rehire pedophiles that their names will be mentioned at the same time as the person that's performing these acts? That's the only thing I have to say at the moment.
Look, I intend to talk to all the key players. I have not done that yet. I cannot believe there must be a misunderstanding, Miriam, that they are rehiring this person. And I intend to speak to them, start the process this week. Oh, my God. Wow. Miriam, again, what can I tell you? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in, for doing this. And I hope, you know, we're going to continue talking.
Thank you.
You can get, Dr. Asher Lipner, you can get in touch with him at 917-826-4713. Yoni, 917-862-9506. The next 2 weeks, we have Susan Settembrino next week. And they've done great shows, Susan and Joe. Look, we're committed, and we all need to do this together and make it happen.
Well, this is a painful show, but as we all now, you know, we need to deal with this pain, and we just have to, you know, confront it and face it. So. 570.